So welcome to the Dissertation Dive. This is a special series podcast where we dive into dissertations of scholars who completed their doctoral degrees in the past several years. As you may know already, the dissertation is the culminating experience of a doctoral journey, and it includes independent scholarship that is significant to the field. So I thought it would be a great idea to dive into some exemplary dissertations. In this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Songyun Bet, the author of the dissertation titled Exploring Social and Emotional Learning in Physical Education in Classroom Settings at a Rural Elementary School. Dr. Beck, thank you for joining me on the Dissertation Dive.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to share my personal and professional journey with my dissertation today.
Great. So excited to have you here and to reconnect with you, because as listeners will hear, you studied at UNCG, so I know you well, thankfully. For most of the interview, I want to look back at your dissertation, but first, what are you up to now in your career?
So after my PhD at University of North Carolina at Greensboro, I'm currently working as an assistant professor in the physical education department at State University of New York at Cortland, known as SUNY Cortland. And this semester, I'm teaching movement education for pre-K students and the physical education curriculum planning and practice for elementary school students. And from a research standpoint, I'm still very invested in social and emotional aspects in PE, especially for underserved children in rural schools.
Oh, great. So what about, in terms of your background, how did you end up pursuing a doctoral degree in physical education?
Well, to share a little bit more about my personal backgrounds, I'm originally from South Korea, and I was a classroom teacher back in South Korea in Seoul for about 4 years. And I taught different subjects, including physical education. And because I observed students' behaviors in and outside of PE, I was always very interested in a whole child development, especially social and effective domains of learning in physical education. And I knew that Dr. Ben Dyson did a lot of work on social and effective domains of learning in PE, most notably focused on cooperative learning. So I thought it would be a good opportunity for me to develop my understandings with him doing my PhD. And also, since I did my master's in Seoul National University with Dr. Oakson Lee, who also did her PhD with Dr. Tom Martinek at UNCG. Her recommendation was really opened the door for me to move out of my comfort zone and pursue my PhD in the U.S.
Wow, yes. Oakson Lee is very good at recommending students to come back and study with us, and we're definitely better off for that. We're able to select UNCG as your place of study and work with Dr. Dyson in an area that you were interested in. And after getting to UNCG, I'm sure you took some courses, and eventually you have to think about a research topic and do a dissertation proposal. What are some things that led to your selection of a research focus at UNCG?
Looking back, I think I'm going to cover lots of different things, like about my teaching opportunities, research opportunities, and also different coursework that I did at UNCG. So starting with my teaching experience at UNCG, I think a lot of things that I did really fitted well with my prior teaching experience. I taught students at high school and elementary school, working in partnership with the UNCG during the regular semesters and summer programs. So I taught PE and social emotional learning curriculum called Second Step. And I also worked as a classroom teaching assistant. And all those experiences allow me to have a better understanding the American school context throughout my doctoral journey. And it was very helpful for me personally because I have international backgrounds. And I had a lot of different opportunities to take different courses about to better understand diverse cultural backgrounds of students. So for example, I took a course with you. It is about like multiculturalism in physical education, and like just getting connected with, you know, different graduate students with different backgrounds really helped me to be more of aware of my own cultural back, sociocultural backgrounds. Also, it really helped me to better understand my students that I'm teaching who have different backgrounds with me. And because I'm very into like learning different sociocultural backgrounds and like lives outside of like my students' lives outside of physical education, I think that really tied well into my research topic, my dissertation topic, which is focused on students and teachers' experiences of social emotional learning in physical education and also in classroom settings at a rural elementary school.
Okay, so let's dive into your dissertation more specifically. Tell us a little bit more about your research questions and what you were hoping to learn from your dissertation study.
So the focus of my dissertation was investigating perspectives and experiences of students and teachers for social emotional learning implementation in PE and classroom settings at a rural elementary school located in North Carolina. And I had three research questions. The first one was, what SEL pedagogies do teachers implement in physical education and classroom settings? The second was focused on what SEL experiences students had in physical education and classroom settings. And the third one was focused on what contributing factors teachers and students perceive important for SEL experiences in PE and classroom settings.
Okay, so you had some research questions to guide your study, and I know you really took a deep dive into the literature to try to build your understanding of the topic based on that. And what were some of the things that you learned about and shaped your research from the literature review?
So I conducted a literature review majorly focused on social and affective domains of learning in elementary PE and social-emotional learning frameworks in physical education, a whole school approach to SEL, and perspective of students and teachers in rural education. So in summary, the main takeaways from the literature review is, I think we have a considerable amount of research conducted showing that PE is very much capable of enhancing social and affective domains of learning in elementary school settings. And we have a growing number of research on SEL in our field, also like advocating that. However, I think students' social and emotional development is not just about what is happening within one subject setting, especially what I learned from a whole school approach to SEL. It's more about SEL should be a whole school-wide effort where different stakeholders are engaged, especially who have impacts or interact with students on a regular basis. So the bottom line is SEL in PE is not just about what they do or what they learn in PE, but also about what students experience in and outside of PE. And I think one of the most important settings that we should consider is classroom settings, especially at elementary school level. In that sense, I thought it is very important for me to look into the relevant literature about marginalized perspective of students and teachers in rural education, because the school in this research was a title school located in a rural area of North Carolina. So to better understand the research context, I really had to look what kind of research has been conducted in rural education settings so that I can have a better understanding in terms of like data analysis and the findings.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that context is important, perspective that your study provides, and we'll learn about those findings in just a few minutes. But of course, with a dissertation, it's grounded in methods that you choose to help answer your research question. So what types of methods did you propose to use in your study to help address those research questions?
So I implemented a qualitative case study design, since I thought this study is very much focused on describing STL experiences of students and teachers in PE and classroom settings in a holistic and very context-sensitive way. So the elementary school, I would call it Marigold Elementary, has been identified as a Title I school, and 98% of the students come from low-income family with free or reduced price meals. And approximately 375 students are enrolled at the schools, and 80% of those students are ethnic minorities. So I use purposive sampling methods, and in total, 13 teachers and 31 elementary school students participated in this study. So to provide more in-depth and detailed information about the phenomena, I used 5 qualitative data collection methods through prolonged engagement with the participants in the research context.
Wow. So this sounds like a very rich case study of this Title I school. Can you talk a little bit more about your selected methods? For example, were you informed by theory? Or were you drawing on other research that, you know, kind of inspired you to pursue those particular methods?
So I think definitely I was very much influenced by the previous research, especially on social emotional learning in physical education. And when I was reviewing the previous literature on social emotional learning PE, one of the things that I learned from the previous literature was that there is not enough quality research to show what perspective students and teachers have about their SEL implementation in PE settings. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the main reasons why I wanted to use qualitative case study design to give a more detailed picture of what is going on in terms of social emotional learning. And also, as I mentioned, the context, the school context, is a Title I school located in rural area of North Carolina with a lot of underserved children. So to better understand what is really going on in terms of social emotional learning at the school, I thought having different in-depth qualitative evidence will definitely help my understanding of social emotional learning in PE and classroom settings at the school.
You know, after that comes the data collection piece once you have your methods. And I know for a lot of doctoral students, this is where it can become challenging because data collection just never goes as smoothly as you hope it would, at least I think. But how did that go for you? Did you encounter some challenges in carrying out those methods?
Yeah, so it took a lot of time and efforts for sure. But also, I think that is a beauty of doing a quality research. So I would like to start with recruiting participants. I think data collection, you know, really starts with, you know, recruiting participants. So in my case, I was very immersed in the research context because I work as a full-time graduate assistant at the school about 2 years. And I, as I mentioned earlier, I was engaged in different school duties and teaching duties at the school, which allowed me to get connected with the potential participants. But that does not mean it was easy for me to recruit participants. So I really tried to let this teacher and school administrators know that this study really matters, and this will hopefully help their practice and students' learning in some way in the future. And I think that's important because they are the gatekeepers if I want to work with students, and they are the one who communicate directly with students and parents more than I do as a researcher and in the school context. So moving on to like data collection, I collected five types of qualitative data sources. And those are classroom observation, class observation, individual interviews, student focus group, photo voice, and research reflexive journals. There are a lot of different details that I would like to share, but in terms of the challenges, one of the challenges that I faced during data collection phase was working with elementary school students. Because my students' participants were from third to fifth grade, and some of them didn't know what they signed up for, even though they said yes on the consent form, and even though their parents said yes on the ASIN form. So it is about, I started with getting to know these students better. It really started with casual conversation, getting to know them as an individual, so that they can feel much more comfortable with communicating with me. And also, I just wanted to make sure that my language that I'm using for that I was using for the interviews were phrased in a such way that they can understand. And my prior teaching and research experience in elementary school really helped me with that, because I know like how to rephrase my, you know, language as a researcher to in a more participant friendly way. And also one of the other things that helped me with interviewing elementary school kids is some of them were more open to having conversation with me because they already worked with me before in PE or in classroom settings. So that really worked me. And I would really just, it took a lot of time and efforts, but overall, as time went by, students got more and more open to their feelings and thoughts during interviews.
Yeah, so you definitely had a prolonged engagement at the school that helped to address some of those challenges with connecting with the students. But even still, it sounds like when you start the interview, there's always challenges left, like making sure the language makes sense to the students and things like that. That also, as you were talking, reminds me that your point about the need for qualitative research is important, because those are all things you might not think about if we don't have that student voice more developed in the research on social and emotional learning. So I'm glad you realized that being a gap in our literature. So once you had all that data in hand, that was a lot of data, you had to make some meaning from it. And how did you structure that analysis process? How did it go for you?
So I conducted inductive data analysis. And I think like there are a lot of different phases related to data analysis. But what I want to share more about is how I tried to establish trustworthiness in this study. So what I did was triangulation, member checks, peer debriefing, negative case analysis, and clarification of researcher positionality. But the one that I focus on today is more about member checks. So I actually had made appointments with teachers and students to share my findings in a more participant-friendly way, especially for teachers. I think the research finding is not just about my research. It is also about student learning and teachers' teaching practice. And I know teacher really allow me to visit their classroom like a lot of times and let me be there to observe how they teach and how they interact with students. So I really wanted to share that this is what I observed from you and your students in terms of social emotional learning, so that they can really use those data moving forward for their students' social emotional learning and also for their own teaching practices for social emotional learning. So I think, and also because I had those relationship pieces with different teachers, I think it was not just about like one-way presentation. We really had good conversation about, you know, different students, how different students, you know, even though I didn't really share which student mentioned which part, we just shared different perspective about how students responded their social emotional learning practice. And they were pretty much surprised because they didn't know how much students were aware of social emotional learning practices that they did in classrooms and PE.
Yeah. So that's so, I'm glad you chose to share that because it sounds different than a lot of member checking processes that we see in the literature, because sometimes people might present a transcript to someone to check it for accuracy. But it sounds like you really selected a different type of process where they got to learn about your interpretation of the findings and give feedback on that. Well done. Okay, so you've managed to analyze all that data somehow. What types of findings can you share to highlight from your dissertation? I know it's a short time, so there's not time for everything, but what were some of the most important findings from your study?
So I think it is definitely related to my research positionality, because I'm very invested in like understanding different cultural, sociocultural like differences and backgrounds from different students and teachers. I think my findings is also very related to how I view the world, and also this is definitely related to the research context. Which is a Title I school in a rural area of North Carolina with a lot of like ethnic minorities. So two findings that I can highlight from the teacher's perspective of social emotional learning is that they view social emotional learning as learning how to support personal and cultural differences. So social emotional learning is not just about, you know, being a good communicator or being a good friend. It is about bringing awareness about different cultures and different social cultural backgrounds. So one of the teachers mentioned that they, in classroom settings and also in PE settings, they often had morning circle or restorative circle whenever things comes up or on a regular basis. So that's a place where they can share different cultural backgrounds. So for example, when they're talking about Christmas, some students don't celebrate Christmas. Instead, they have their own like celebration or their own holiday. So that's when they can share, I celebrate Kwanzaa, and those students can teach other students and also their teachers about their like cultural, you know, backgrounds more. So for teachers at the elementary school, social emotional learning is not just about building good relationship. It is more about learning how to understand and respect personal and cultural differences. And also, one of the things that teacher did a really nice job is sharing understanding with school-wide interactions. One thing that teachers mentioned was the PE teacher and classroom teacher always communicated about students' social and emotional behaviors, because they knew that if PE teacher saw something, there's a bigger possibility that the classroom teacher already experienced the same behavior in the classroom setting. So they know that social and emotional behavior from students are not just about what is happening in one subject settings. They're all connected to one another. So I think that those are two things that I can share related to teachers' perspective. And also like moving on to students' experiences, I like to share that students teachers having shared understanding and using same languages and having school-wide interaction really helps students to have a better cognitive understanding related to social emotional learning. For example, a lot of students knew what integrity is because that's what they hear in PE, in classroom, at the hallway, or when they're communicating with school administrator. And integrity is not an easy concept. It can be very abstract for elementary school students. But overall, because teachers share the same language for social emotional learning, students exactly knew what integrity is and what it looked like. So it really helps students' cognitive understanding of social emotional learning. And also, especially in PE, students mentioned that social emotional learning is knowing more about personal space, which is directly related to spatial awareness. And one main reason that they think having personal space is important is because whenever students came into the gym, the PE teacher asked students to find one poly spot and sit on it. And for them, it is a starting point for having safe personal space.
Yeah.
So I think that is one of the most interesting things that I learned from students. So yeah, I think that's something that I could highlight from the findings in my dissertation.
Thank you. So I wonder, because you spent a lot of time at the school and you observed their practices for a long time, even before your study, was there anything that surprised you from the findings, or, something you didn't quite expect?
I was surprised because elementary school students knew so much more about what was going on. Like, it just blew my mind. Because at some point, I was expecting that they know what was going on, but the photo voice they took during the data collection phase and the interview, like, quotes that I found from them was another level. And I think I realized that at some point I underestimated how students learn and how students view their world around them. So, like, it was just, inspiring experience for me as a qualitative researcher, that I really need to get connected with younger students more to know better, learn better about their viewpoints and experiences.
Yeah. Wow. So, now that you completed a dissertation, I wonder if you could go back and do it all over again, would you do anything different knowing what you know now?
So first of all, I don't want to go back and do it all over again.
I can relate to that.
If I had to do it, I will definitely spend more time with teachers and students. And I think I would try more to just, be there, be immersed in the research context. Because I think that is one of the things that really helped me with data analysis, because it is like making a puzzle. So if I cannot find one piece that work for it, like connection for everything, I cannot make it. So just spending more time, because one thing that I want to work more on is definitely related to rural education, how rural education played a role in students' experiences and teachers' experiences for social emotional learning. I think I had, pretty good picture of it, but at the same time, I would definitely spend more time to find more details based on students' and teachers' viewpoints. But I think that also takes me to look into, like, their local community context, also, like, bigger level, higher level than local community context. So it will definitely take more time and efforts.
Yes, yeah. So you've done the dissertation. How has it impacted your career so far? Or do you plan to disseminate the dissertation even further.
So I'm trying to disseminate the findings through journal publications and academic conferences. And also, I think it is definitely influenced how I teach in teacher education program. So it is not really about research, it is about teaching, but now I'm working with students, pre-service PE teachers who work with elementary school students in PE. So when we talk about like assessment for effective domains of learning, a lot of students do teacher observation or checklist, teacher checklist, but I always encourage my students to ask questions to elementary school students, whether they are kindergartners or third graders. They might think that those questions can be very difficult for them to answer, but based on my research experiences, elementary school students are very capable of expressing their own thoughts and feelings when those questions are phrased in such a way that they can understand. So always I tell my students that you don't know what is going on within their mind. So teacher checklist and observation is definitely powerful tool that can assess effective domains of learning. But at the same time, you really need to ask questions to students to check what is really going on with them, because they know a lot what is going on.
So now that you've been able to pull off a dissertation successfully, there's probably someone listening and thinking about their dissertation, maybe struggling a little bit. Based on your experience, what advice could you give someone to get through the dissertation process?
I think maybe my advice is for international students for whose first language is not English. For me, I would not lie. Sometimes it was very hard because understanding cultures and interviewing students and understanding their perspective in my second language was very difficult. But I think that's the reason why like prolonged engagement and also different qualitative data methods really worked well for me. Because even though I was not fully aware, fully sure about like one thing during my interviews, I can always do more observations. And also I can always go back to student interviews again, and I can ask clarification questions, follow-up questions about what I observe in classroom settings and PE settings. And I think having spending enough time in the research context definitely helped me to get through all the like data collection and data analysis process. So I think especially for students, international students whose first language is not English, I would encourage them to, they can do it if they spend more time and engage like different types of qualitative data sources.
Yeah. Well, good. That's great advice. And you have a good example in your dissertation for anyone who wants to learn more and go down this path of the doctoral journey. This has been a really fun conversation even though I read your dissertation, when you talk about it here, I feel like I learned a little bit more because you get a different perspective on it. So I really appreciate that opportunity. I think I'm about out of questions, but is there anything else you would like to add or want people to know about you in your dissertation?
I just want to shout out my dissertation committee because I think I already said thank you to my dissertation committee during my defense, but I think they really helped me a lot throughout the process, like even like data collection, data analysis, and also presenting my findings. Their feedback really helped me to move forward with everything during my dissertation phase. So I just want to shout out to them and say thank you one more time. I feel genuinely lucky to have those wonderful dissertation committees.
Oh, great. Yeah, and I know that's one of those important factors for your study is selecting the right advisor and then selecting the right committee members to get you through it. And now I know we're glad that you're a colleague now and you're at that stage where it might feel a little weird, like you might call your advisor Dr. Dyson still, but I promise you can call him Ben now, and that's totally okay. So I really enjoyed having you. Look forward to seeing where you go next in your career, and hope to stay connected with you and see you at conferences and things like that. And anyone who's listening to this and interested in social emotional learning, I know they could reach out to you and network on that topic.
Yep, sounds good. Thank you for having me today, and thank you for this great opportunity to share more about my dissertation.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Beck, thank you for joining me on the Dissertation Dive.